Father, we bless you. For in you all things consist. Great and mighty God, terrible in his doings, gracious, merciful, faithful to 1,000 generations, plenteous in mercy. The Lord is good. His mercies endureth forever. We worship you, Judge of all creation, the one that doeth right. You open your hands to satisfy the desires of every living thing. You make it the outgoings of the mornings and the evenings to be with rejoicing. To whom can we compare you with? There is none like you. We worship you, Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We thank you for your mercies. Lord Jesus, risen King, Savior of all men, especially those who believe, you that rose from the dead to justify us, you sit at the right hand of the Father in majesty, ever living to make intercession for us. Your name is holy. Your name is like an ointment poured forth. Therefore, the virgins love thee. You give grace, you give glory. So of your fullness, we have received grace upon grace. Thank you, our Savior, the apostle of our profession, the Ancient of Days, the bright and the morning star. We bow before you. You are the true God and eternal life. We worship you, Jesus. O Savior, who have saved us from the wrath to come. God bless you, Lord Jesus. Precious Holy Spirit, inner strengthener, friend that sticks closer than a brother, God that is more than enough, the seven spirits before the throne of God, the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. The Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We bow before you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, you that help at our infirmity. We need you. Come and help us in this time of the word. Come and help us in this time of worship and fellowship with you, with the Father. For indeed, our gathering is unto God. Oh, Holy Spirit, come and help us. We'll bless you, Father. We'll bless you, Lord Jesus. We'll bless you, Holy Spirit. Come and help us to do all things well to the praise and glory of the name of Jesus. We bless, worship, and adore you in Jesus' name. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege to enter into your word at this time. The entrance of your word gives light and gives understanding to the simple. We humble ourselves before you, humble ourselves afresh. I pray you come and grant me grace and unction to minister your word with power, with accuracy, with clarity, with simplicity, and with the love and comfort of the Holy Spirit. As I go into your word, I come under the covering of the apostolic and prophetic anointings of our fathers, under the covering of the apostolic and prophetic fathers of the church age, and under you, the Almighty God, God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. As I minister the word of God will have a free course. The word of God will be glorified. The clear channel is created and maintained in the heavenlies as we share the word. That, Father, you will break yokes. You will heal bodies. You will meet needs. You will dissolve doubts. You will solve riddles. You will break die-hard habits in our lives, bringing glory to the name of Jesus. Blessings to the sons of men. Father, we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy against effective delivery and receiving of the word. And so, in unity, my brethren, under the covering of our fathers and under the lordship of the Lord Jesus, can come against every foul spirit of distraction, intimidation, offense, mind wandering, fear, unbelief, spirit of weariness and infirmity, sleep and slumber and such like, including human spirits in alliance with the devil or such contrary foul spirits. We cast you out. We destroy your works, resist and bind you in Jesus' name. Break your hold over our hearts, bodies and circumstances in the name of Jesus. Lose the angels of God and seven spirits of God to go fulfill the air. Enforce and execute God's perfect will concerning the ministration of the word, the rest of our service today in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, because you answer our prayers. You do more than what we ask, more than what we think, according to your power that is at work within us. For we pray in Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord a super clap, super hand clap. Hallelujah.
It's in you, Lord. He's in you, Lord.
We know.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I said, praise the Lord. Amen. Let's be seated. We thank God for another privilege that we have to gather together as brethren. This is Zion City Fellowship, campus outreach arm of Scripture Pastor Christian Center, pastored by our beloved parents, Pastor Libby Johnson and Mommy Sarah Johnson. Let's give our parents a hand. We appreciate them. We thank God for them. We appreciate their love for us. The Lord wants to strengthen and enlarge their coast in Jesus' name. Today, I have a short but very important exhortation titled Avoiding Fornication. Titled what? I didn't hear. Titled? One more time. Avoiding Fornication. Praise the Lord. 21st century, computer age, electronic age, social media age, anything we call 21st century has not changed the definition of fornication. Praise the Lord. God hasn't changed his mind. And like someone said, God has not undergone therapy. There is no old school definition of fornication. Praise the Lord. And the earlier we accept the Bible, accept God's word, accept God's definition, the easier it becomes for us. The what? Easier it becomes for us. Bible tells us to avoid fornication. Bible tells us to flee fornication. Praise the Lord. All for our good. Praise the Lord. All for our good. And today we'll be exhorting, encouraging, and by the power of the Holy Ghost, strengthening ourselves. Amen. And having a fresh resolve to live for God in the land of the living. Amen. Avoiding fornication. Our sexuality and sexual maturation is a primary product of a computer program. Let me repeat that again. Our sexuality and sexual maturation is primarily a product of a computer program. You know, when you have a computer program, I'm not Pastor Laulu Usumbi here, they are the programmers. Who is a computer person here? Okay. So, when you put in a program, the end is that a time comes, that program starts to live itself out. Praise the Lord. So, it's some code, sets of instruction, and then once you trigger its onset, it will not just start to bring out what you put in. That's why we use the idiom, garbage in, garbage out. Okay, it's what you put in that the program will now start to run. As our sexuality and sexual maturation is primarily a product of a computer program. And what is that program? Be fruitful and multiply. Praise the Lord. That is primarily the computer program that was set into man. Be fruitful and multiply. Let's look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Genesis 1, 28. Are the word guys with me? Okay, let me start from 26. Okay, I have it on the big screen. But let me start from... And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God, created he him, male and female, created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Praise the Lord. That's like a computer program that was inserted into man, both male and female. Amen. And that program now plays itself out in our sexual differences and sexual maturation. Praise the Lord. The next time you hear God saying this again was after Noah's flood. Now he has wiped out everybody, leaving Noah, his wife, his sons, and their wives. I'm going to repeat that again. When he said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Praise the Lord. Yes, reinitiated the program. So, mankind is always following that program. And that's why when you grow, sexual maturity comes. It's just a reminder that there's a program in you, in mankind, that is supposed to make sure that mankind continues. Praise the Lord. And that's why all the tension and pressure of sexual life predominates during the reproductive age. Once you start to go to 50, 60, passing reproductive age, all that starts to come down because the program was actually centered around repopulation. Praise the Lord. That's where the program was centered on. The whole cycle, the whole female cycle, is centered on. Maybe sometimes people do not. Let's first take it from the Bible. Say, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Okay? Why do some things happen? Like I was teaching students some years ago, anatomy, and I was teaching the female reproductive system, and we're looking at the ovaries. And I said, from puberty till menopause is active reproductive age. And that's where this program comes in. And the whole essence of the whole menstrual cycle is to make sure an egg is released that can be fertilized to produce a child. If now that doesn't occur, it will repeat the program. But if a child occurs, then it will stay back on the program, waiting for when the child will be born, and after a while, start the program again. It's going to continue. Monthly, until he's gauged that your body has passed reproductive age. Once he gauges that, then the thing starts to shut down. Now, there may be other side shows with sexual life, but I'm talking of the primary. What brought the program into place was be fruitful, multiply, replenish. And that's why the pressure comes around that time. Now, the question will now be, how do we, let's be angry and sin not. Someone say, how do you be angry and sin not? Thank God the Bible said it. You cannot preach it better than the Bible. You cannot declare the Bible unholy. He said, no, you can't. Anytime you're angry, you already sin. The Bible didn't say that. Be angry, that's respond to negativity. That's what be angry means. Something is, that's why God gets angry. You keep doing what he told you not to do. He is making a just response to your negative action. Once you're a human being, negativity is coming. Things that you are supposed to react justly to say, no, don't do that. You do that again, I'm angry with the boy. You do that again, I'm going to beat you. What's wrong with you? That's a response, a reaction, a just response. If you pile up all your response to negativity, you will die of blood pressure. That's the truth. That's the truth. But you, this boy, this, you and your mother, blah, blah, blah. You've crossed from the anger to sinning. But in our practical life, we can see that balance sometimes, Kai, is a thread. A thin thread. As if thread is not thin enough. It's a thin thread. Be angry and sin not. Marriage is honorable in all. Flee fornication. How do you balance that? It's like be angry and sin not. Praise the Lord. But starting from the... For both of them, really, be angry and sin not. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's how we balance. That's how we balance that thread. Be angry and sin not. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's the possibility. Praise the Lord. Let's see it. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thank you. Be angry and sin not. Let not that. Oh, I thought I had shut you down. Psalm 119, verse 11. Yes. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So if there's nothing done about the word, we're going to sin against God. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, when it comes to avoid fornication, I'm going to talk to both genders. Like I said, it's sexuality and sexual maturation is primarily a product of a computer program that God has put there. And for today's short exhortation, I think now I'm giving a general introduction. Then I'll speak to males on one side and speak to females on one side. I found that you can't really blanket the instructions completely. Everybody has a problem, but everybody has where their own problem starts from. Now, let's back up to verse 9. Back up to verse 9. I think I've said it here before, but it's good to repeat it. Wherewithal shall a young man... So let's leave it in its context. Here, young man. Okay? Young man. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Amen. So when you now go back to that verse 11, say, thy word have I hid in my heart. So it's by that word that a young man will cleanse his ways. Praise the Lord. Because here he uses young man. Because most times the young man is the aggressor. Like Russia. While Ukraine is the one sitting down gently, Russia is the aggressor. Praise the Lord. So most times, not all times, most times, the female is just sitting gently. Minding our own business. But there is an aggressor who has seen you 5 kilometers away, described how you look, and started making his architectural plans. Amen. Where would a young man cleanse his waist? A young man has to always cleanse his waist. So he's thinking about women, thinking about money, thinking about how to be independent, thinking about how he knows him more than the pastor. Those are always characteristics of young men. Praise the Lord. They can't stay in one place. They are always adventurous. They're always thinking about women. They're always thinking about money. So the Bible, you now think, how can he cleanse his ways? Because his ways many times is dirty. Because anytime you say cleanse, it means it's dirty. Praise the Lord. Dirty boys. I'm not looking at them. Dirty boys. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to your word. That word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Amen. Now, the functional word is heed. Heed. That's striking. Heed. Let me ask you. Do you passively hide something? That means, you just put it, I've hidden it. You know, to hide something takes some effort. You really put the effort to make sure it is somewhere. You don't casually hide. You actively hide something. Praise the Lord. Thy word have I hid, that I might not sin against thee. So if you don't do that hiding of the word, you're going to sin against God. You're going to sin against God. Hide is confession and meditation. Many times we confess, but most times we don't meditate. This book of the law shall not do what? Depart from the matter. But thou shalt meditate. That place is always, many times is missing in our lives. Anybody that actually, truly, we can define and correct, if we correctly define that he is sober, there's meditation in his life. A man can't get to a sober level if he has not meditated. Unless he's just dull. He's not sober. You know, he's just dull. But if you say, if somebody is sober, meditation is there. Meditation is there. Thy word have I hid, that I might not sin against thee. We can apply to all aspects, but today we are talking about avoiding fornication. Because, like I said at the beginning, 21st century has not made fornication not a sin. Pastor Lalu soon talked to us about confessions, meditation. Flee youthful lust. It's a lust already, but Paul was saying that there are some, fornication being a key part, they trigger when one is young. But he didn't say, you know, I excuse you because those are the... He said, flee youthful lust. Amen. Effort has to be made because we live in a crazy world. We live in a crazy world. If you are not intent, being intentional on avoiding fornication, you can see yourself just slip into it. I know fornication is a difficult thing to do, but if you are not intent and you don't have an intentional mind, you will see yourself sleeping. You know, when someone sleeps, he didn't want to fall, but he slipped. It means from the time you start until you fall, you are practically not in control. You are practically not in control. Talking about the computer program, let me talk as a doctor about the computer program. You have two, everybody has two systems, if I use that word, I'll explain it, operating. If I combine together your muscles and your nervous system, and your entire body, there are two systems working. There is a system that is under the control of your will. Take your eye away. Put off the TV. Stand up and walk away. All that is completely under a willful system. It takes your bones, it takes your muscles, okay? I remember when we were serving. We were in the camp. And I think we had a recess. And they were doing this language. We had finished the language, Hausa language course. Do they still do those things? Language in the camp. Okay, doing Hausa. So we were like five or six, sat down. I probably think we were like five, that day, one female, four of us. So we started doing like a mock of the language costs, the Hausa language. So the lady, she was even more serious. Say, this is how you pronounce this language. So the other guy now came up and started the language, but as usual, in any gathering of boys, he twisted the language to vulgar sexual language. The girl just stood up and said, I think this you people's definition is too hard for me, and walked away. If she wanted to stay another 5 minutes in that discussion, she's looking for trouble among those boys. Are you getting me? She just saw that, these people are living normality. They've started their semi-drunkenness, she just stood up and said, you people's definition is getting too hard for me, and walked away. That's because everybody has a willful system. There's a willful system. The other system is an automated system. Automated. You have no control. You don't have control over the enzymes that your liver secretes. It's automated. You can't say, hey, liver, more. Mm-mm. It's automated. The digestive juice from your pancreas is automated. It's automated. Have you noticed? There are some things it's automated. You can do a little bit, okay, let my heart beat faster. You can do some, but after a while, it goes back to its automated levels. Praise the Lord. When it comes to the opposite sex, you have willful. But if you don't take control at the willful, based on the computer program, be fruitful, multiply, your body goes on an automated. You will have finished before you know that, what did I do? But the good thing as a Christian is that at that willful level, God will be beating the conscience. It's like a like bang, bang, bang. It's take the willful alarm. You are in control now. Get up. Get out. That's where God intervenes in the Christian's life. But you know, what kicks in there? Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Flee, flee. Get out. There's really nothing. You start to excuse the alarm. You start to excuse. Then you just see yourself in an automated system. And you'll be in trouble. Praise the Lord. We're all young people. And that's why we really need is to see some of the practicalities of these things. Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Now, let's quickly look at a male-female scenario. Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs 2. Our title today is Avoiding Fornication. Proverbs 2. Let's first go to Proverbs 6. There's a pattern in Proverbs, and then we'll flip back to Proverbs 2. I will read fast, verse 20 to 23, and then we'll now dovetail into verse 24. From verse 20, are we in Proverbs 6? Okay, it's talking to the guys now. It's talking to the guys. Well, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them round about thy neck. He's talking about the word of God. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. All this is meditation. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Then all these things about the word, verse 24, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty, blah, blah, blah. But he gave instructions about the word. Amen. You know when pastor tells you every 6 hours and go, all that is for your safety. Amen. He said, that word, he said, the commandment of thy father, the love that bind them upon thy heart. When you sleep, it shall talk with you. When you walk, when you to keep thee from the evil woman. Amen. Amen. You see, what that tells me is that as much as fornication is rife and rampant, God has prepared your way of escape. If you want to escape. So Proverbs 6, that's, you see that background of the word of God, the importance of the word of God, again, in keeping you. So let's now go back to Proverbs 2. Okay, we'll quickly, now, to the ladies. Like I said, the male is the aggressor. The female just stays sweet and pleasant. But you must not be deprived of wisdom. Verse 10 and 11, and then, let me say something before verse 10 and 11. I've said this here before. I said many times, because the male is the aggressor, many times, the female enters trouble, because I have been counseling and working with youths for a long time. The female gets into trouble the guy is intentional many times, but the female gets into trouble many times, not out of being wayward, but out of being careless, being simple. Because of the way you are programmed, just a little flattery here, a little flattery there. You know what that flattery does? It takes away your self-will system and puts you on an automated path. That's what the flattery is intended to. It says it a little here, says a little here, then you have lost control of yourself. So,
when the flattery is coming, if you are careless, that well, I appreciate me. You are slipping into the flattery. Before you know it, your will system is gone. That's the reality. Praise the Lord. It's an autopilot of iniquity. It happens. It happens. Counsel people, it happens. Happens. I mean, there are the girls that, we'll talk about them later. Those ones, they dress to kill. So those ones are intentional. But many other, they're just where they are. But carelessness. Simple, just appreciating some flatteries. That you know this flattery is crossing the boundary. But you say, well, we can adjust the boundary a little. You enter into trouble. Okay, so let's read Proverbs 2. So, still talking about the word. Let me quickly read the word aspect. When wisdom entereth into thy heart, and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul. That's the word of God. Amen. That's the word of God. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. Stay with the word of God. You say, I want Jim Jim brothers. You better be Jim Jim sister. Stay with the word of God. Knowledge enter into thy soul. Wisdom enter into your heart. Then verse 13. Verse 12. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man. If you're not strong in the world, there's the evil man. He's coming with his flatteries. With his gifts. I said something to my students many, many years ago. I said the last thing God created is the female body. Not the woman, no. The woman is spirit. God has made that spirit since. All the spirit. The last thing God created is the female body. It is the summation of God's creation. And God reserves the best for the last. When I say summation, it's like plus this, plus this, plus this. Fine, equals the summation of... He created everything. The summation is this female body. It is the crown jewel of creation. So because you are a spirit, but you have been given the gift of that body. And then you now give it away because somebody bought you Zobo. And roasted yam. He bought Zobo and roasted yam, and he just gave the body away. And I told myself, I said, let me call, see, Zobo and roasted yam is just a code. It can be 18 karat chain. It can be a Honda car. That Zobo and roasted yam is to tell you it's not worth it. The Zobo and roasted yam is just to show you it's not worth it. You just gave away the epitome. It's that body is given to you as a gift. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man. From the man that speaketh forward things. Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the way of darkness. Who rejoice to do evil. Our guys, they anti-plan. They rejoice. They now come back and talk about their exploits. Rejoice to do evil. They are describing your body. They are describing your honor over Henneken and palm wine. They rejoice to do evil. And they are proud to say, you are not a pure girl. They begged you to be impure. Now proud to say, to condemn that you are not a pure girl. When I was dean of faculty, they said they are looking for me. Who is looking? Social work. Social workers. Social. I don't even know. I've had no relationship with social workers. When I get to the dean's office, yes, what's the problem? I said, the social workers brought a girl from psychology. What happened? she's pregnant. Ah, pregnant. What does that concern me? Say, ah, the person responsible is a final year student in vet medicine. So she went to complain to the social workers that the guy abandoned her and put pressure on her to abort. So she now went to report him. Those ones now brought her to my office. Now I called the guy. The guy said, me? Where do I know you? Me and you. It was not tense. I said, ah, immediately I finished. I don't even think I want to do you service. My brother has promised to send me to Canada. To one girl will now come out. And I called him. I said, Canada. Okay. I'm going to write a letter to SDC. Finding you culpable of this, that they should investigate. And the UI law states that once you have a case in SDC, you can't graduate. The guy said, Oga. I said, yes. I can't watch the girl being victimized. He said, yes, it's not that I didn't have anything to do, but am I the only person? No, I'm real life. But I thought to myself, I said, but when it was happening, it would have been, you are so lovely. The gift buying, taking out. Now she said, am I the only person? But I guess the girl was smart enough to take his directive of let's abort the child. She had it on tape. So it was, his cloak was taken from him. So it was fixed. But what did he do at the end? At the end, he accepted. He said he would take responsibility. But at the end, when he finished his exam, pam, guy disappeared. Nice. Real life. The guy lost a year to go and have the baby and come back. Thank God it didn't happen a year before the strike. And then she would have just not graduated. Real life. The evil man, they rejoice to do evil. Whose ways are crooked and forward in their paths. Keep yourself. Reject people's gifts. Class yourself. Stay in your lane of honor. Some people's attention is not worth it. Crooked in their paths. And God has made the female sensitive. When they are coming, you see it. You see his intention. But you are the one that downplayed your self-will to take control. The alarm bells of God, you downplayed it. Pastor Laulu should come up. I'm going to enter into the other part, man, but there's one very, it's a sad, vulgar story, but I need to say this because these are real life. Now, been having someone, having a life with youths, you've seen good things, you've seen bad things. But I'll say this, because this one is vulgar, but just to drive home to our sisters that, be very careful. I was in 100 level. 100 level. 1986. We were talking in front then. In those days, we had these wooden buildings. That's where 100 level stays. I had this man. It was 100 level with us, but it wasn't a young. We were 15, 16. He was probably like 22, 23, or older. So he was in one of the rooms with probably his girlfriend, making out with his girlfriend. Maybe he had a recess time, but this real life. He came out with the girl's underwear. And started talking to boys. Ah, she's inside. You know, it's very vulgar and repugnant. But that's what happened. And they were all laughing. real life. Because sometimes it's good to paint real life, because in the midst of the flattery and the love creation, there are danger lines. There are danger lines. It's the electricity that provides the bulb but can electrocute. So don't let us just get carried away that it is electricity. There are danger lines. Okay, so look at the last scripture and then Pastor Lalu will come up. Verse 16. Now to the guys, that you two read your Bible, wisdom, discretion. Verse 16. To deliver thee from the strange woman. Now I want to hear only guys' voice. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger, which flattereth with our words. There are some bad ladies too. Before we think it's only the guys that are bad. And you can be a honest, humble, godly brother. If you are not careful, they are going to shoot you down. And it's pre-planned. Ask Joseph. They plan to shoot you down. Which forsaketh the guide of our youth and forgetteth the covenant of our God. When a lady starts to become 16, 17, she has a guide, a self-guide. There are places you can't touch her anymore. She has a guide. But this one has forsaken the guide of our youth. And forgetted the covenant of which he had with God. For our house inclined unto death, and our paths unto the dead. Praise the Lord. None that go into her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. Praise the Lord. Let's be careful. It's a crazy world and it's hunting for your purity. It's hunting for it. Like Pastor said, because once you start to lose the purity of the body, you can't be a vessel to carry the glory. You can't be a vessel to carry the glory. So that thing is haunting for the purity of the body. And we now know the timetable ahead of us. That's why we have to flee fornication. Folks, forgetted the covenant of our God. Forsaked the guide of our youth. I subbed in 2003 to 2005. I was subbed in. The subbed in is the one who attends to the students. Subbed in undergraduate. All their results, their complaint. And my wife told me, that's a dangerous job. You need to be very careful. Subbed in undergraduate. The boys who don't want to read. I want to pass, join cults. The girls who don't want to read, I want to pass, do what they have to do. I remember one lady came to my office. She stood. I called her name. What do you want? I want to see you, sir. You want to see me like this? You can't see me like this. I'm Alakoba. You can't see me like this. Go and wear a lab coat and come back and come and let me know your problem. She has forsaken the guide of her youth. But just to describe to you who she is, they chalked her out for poor results. So when such a person wants to see you, the subject before me warned me. I was a lady, said she will come to you. I'm just assuring you she will come to you. 100 level, she repeated. In vet medicine, if you repeat 100 level, you must leave vet medicine. That's the law. But she pulled all the strings. They made her repeat 100 level. Why doing that 100 level again? She had problems with her grades. And she came to me, the subject before me. She said, "Okay, you have to help me. You know I'm a woman. I can help you." I'm telling you. So he told me when he was handing over to me that this guy is going to come. Because now she has failed again. Her father owned an airline. And she was always having parties. 100 level. He told my previous surgeon, he said, "Okay, help me. You know I'm a woman, I can help you." That's a woman who have forsaken the guide of her youth. So the guys, this world is has gone bonzak. If you don't meditate, keep the word of God in your heart. Don't be careless with your life. Like Pastor said on Wednesday, what's the relationship between a half-naked woman and advertisement for air conditioner? They fill the whole TV. They fill the billboards. The lady wears not mini, micro mini to class with a slit in the front. What is that one telling you? Okay, maybe you don't teach 200 level. I teach 200 level. That's what you see in school. But God has prepared us. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Because in the midst of all the sexual immorality, fornication, waywardness is still the genuine part of a relationship with the opposite sex to marriage. It's the word of God that is going to guide you. Praise the Lord. It's the word of God that is going to guide you. It's navigating through a maze. Amen. Because in the middle of the haystack, there's a needle. But it takes the guidance of the word of God, and the guidance of the Spirit of God to stay there. So you can keep yourself pure. Amen. Because it's a pure vessel that puts himself, as the candidate that will carry the glory of God. You can't preach sexual immorality completely in a week. We can't. But I think we have said some today. Amen. To strengthen our heart. Let's give the Lord a super hand clap. PL.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's give God a clap offering for his mercy and his love. It's because God loves us. That's where we hear this kind of messages, you know. It's important that... it's important that we put to death and cleanse ourselves and know how to overcome these things, because these things are coming against us. And like Prof said, God actually set the program in, but when he was talking, there are just thoughts that came to my mind. That even though God sets the programming of us being fruitful, multiplying, replenish the earth, you know, he had his process and his timing concerning everything, because there's a time for everything under the sun. But because of the fall, Satan has hijacked it, you know, and so the hormones are not behaving the way they should behave. You know, things are not, he's trying to trigger it before time. You know, that scripture came to me when Prof was preaching in Songs of Solomon. Let's just go to Songs of Solomon 2:7. It says, "Awaken not love." You know, Songs of Solomon 2:7. Just a few words for us. And then there's something our pastor mentioned on Wednesday, and then we'll just talk about it together. It says, "I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love till he please." What I'm trying to say is that there is a time for everything, you know, but really, you cannot, appointed time. But really, because we are living in enemy territory, he tries to trigger those things, you know, ahead of time. He tries to corrupt the very thing that God means for good, you know, and bring it to bear when it is not time. Like Prof was talking about, you know, that thin line, the marriage bed do not defile. It is God's will, you know, that we procreate. It is God's will that man and woman come together. It is God's will that we are fruitful, we replenish the earth, multiply, you know, but sex out of marriage is sin. Do you understand? But inside marriage is the will of God. But he tries to trigger it such that the desire, and the desire inconsistent with God's will and God's time, is lost. It is not a sin to eat. Do you understand? But when you overeat or you eat at the wrong time, that is wrong. And that is lost. Are we together? Okay, so just a few words, you know, and points that I want to make. Prof has said a lot, you know. I think a major thing we also need to recognize is that this thing starts at the thought level. And when you try to deal with the actions alone, then you are cutting off the branches, but not dealing with the roots. And you know something about sin, you know, we said it here before, is like when you hold a balloon and you press it, you know, you want to bust the balloon, you see the thing pop up somewhere else. Are we together? You remember? You know, when you hold a balloon, you just see the thing, it can pop up from another part of your finger. That's how sin is, when you don't deal with the root cause. And you see, that's why Jesus, the Lord Jesus, you'd have thought that the standard he set was, you think that it's very impossible. Because in Matthew 5:47, and I think this will help us. He wasn't saying it because he wanted to be hard on us. He was saying it because he wants to show us where we should start dealing with it. And you see, when Prof was talking about meditation, you now understand why the Lord just emphasized, you know, and showed us where the problem is, the root cause of this problem, and what we need to start attacking, and where we need to start attacking it. When you know where your enemy is, because he always lurks in darkness, he always lurks in that place where you don't see him, he will suddenly appear, do something, trigger something, and then you don't see it again. But when you know where it is, and where it starts, and you deal with it from that place, then you will not have him appear at all. Look at this. It says, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not, 27, thank you. Thou shalt not commit adultery, no fornication. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already where? In his heart. So if we can, he wasn't saying it because he was trying to be hard or set a higher standard. He was trying to say it so that we will know where we can deal with it. Just, and so we will know where to go and deal with the enemy. Don't wait for the enemy to come out and show up and shoot at you. Go and meet him where he is. Remember David's mighty men? The Bible says he went in the time of snow, in the cave, where the lion was. That's where he went to deal with the lion. Do you understand? When David was going to meet Goliath, he didn't wait for the guy to come home. He ran towards the guy. Eh? So what Jesus was trying to say, do was, he wasn't trying to say, Lucibel. What he was trying to say is that's where you need to go. You need to go into your hearts. You and me, we need to go into our hearts. We need to start dealing and uprooting those things. That's like Prof's emphasis coming from, or using top-down approach, coming from the solution backwards, is meditation. Meditation is in the heart. Do you understand? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You meditate when you are muttering things in your heart. You are unro. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it hasn't even appeared, but it's in the heart. Now, okay, let's just confirm that. Matthew 15:19. So if we can analyze and search our hearts very well, because there's a virus there. And you can go to the root cause. There's some viruses, it's not just in the flash drive. They sow the virus to go and attack the root of the system. You know that's what cancer does, is the root. Do you understand? It goes deep down. Say, for out of what? Proceed what? Murders, adulteries, what else? Fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. It starts from the heart. So if we can know, and now we know, where the enemy lies. Because you have to know your enemy to overcome your enemy. If you don't know how he moves, you know his strategies, you just be fighting. He would have come, he'd have weakened you, he'd have gone, and then you wake up. You know that's what happened to Samson. You'd have woken up, you wake up, and then you'd be wondering, oh, yeah, shake. No. You just see rinse, repeat itself. It's just that rinse and repeat that will be happening. But when you deal with the root, then you don't have to be doing rinse and repeat over and over and over and over and over and over again. Are we together? Okay, so that's just a point I want us to understand or to pick. The root cause and where the enemy lies and where we need to attack the enemy. And then, of course, Prof mentions about being willful and being automated. And I thought to myself, how then can we reinforce our wills, you know, such that in the course of the day and activities that come, your will is not tossed to and fro or shaken. It will be, you know, and that's what temptation tries to do. It's like that wind vane. You know, the wind will just try and shake it. But how can you be so grounded and rooted, you know, that the wind cannot just blow it? And I wrote here, you know, it just came to me, you reinforce your will through intercession. Do you understand? There's that paramount place of prayer, of deep intercession, and concentrated intercession, especially concerning that area of sexual purity. If you're having a challenge there, you must take up prayer and intercession at least once weekly or even daily. Add it to your prayers every day. Some people, their own is theft. Do you understand? Some people, their own is this sexual immorality. Add it to your prayer every morning. You don't have to wait till next week. You don't have to wait till Tuesday. Start praying it every day. Add it to your prayer every day. You need to take bull by the horn. The valiant taketh it by force. You need to wait for some special service, you know, to pray about it. Start praying about it today. Today is the day of salvation. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't need to pray for some special anointed service, special move of the Spirit to mention it. Start praying about it today. Do you understand? Whatever small power you can generate and push out, push it out. Are we together? And so, you need to reinforce that will through intercession and then also the prayer of love. You know, because we've said it many times. 1 Corinthians 13 has a solution to every problem. But it's not just by saying it. You must pray it. You must think it. As you are praying, as you are doing deep intercession and praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, you can be thinking of those characteristics of 1 Corinthians 13, which is love loves righteousness and hates iniquity. It helps you to reprogram your mind. It helps you to, in that place of prayer, that atmosphere, you begin to sow seeds and thoughts of righteousness and holiness and purity. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when you get out, your mind is already programmed or reprogrammed to love righteousness and hate iniquity. Hebrews 1, it says, thou hast loved righteousness and hated sin. Psalms 45:7 repeats the same thing. Thy God, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, has anointed with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. How did he love righteousness and hate sin? It wasn't just love righteousness and hate sin, Shah. It was early morning prayer, intercession. And these other things that Prof has taught us. Meditation, speaking the word, being at the right place at the right time. You want to have prayed the right prayer. Because this thing has happened to me before, I can tell you. When I did not pray, I was at the wrong place at the wrong time. I saw what I was not supposed to see. And then it took months to overcome and reprogram just because of one day of missing the time of prayer. You won't do it again. You won't do it again. You understand what I'm saying? But it's better not to miss your prayer. If you don't walk in the Spirit, you fulfill the lust of the flesh. Do you understand? It's just mercy and grace that covers many times. But when you ought to have known, you will not be at the right place, hear the what you're not supposed to hear, or watch what you're not supposed to watch. And then something you now battle that wastes your time for days and for months. Are we together? That's why the fear of the Lord is to abstain from evil. You understand what I'm saying? It's not, sometimes that fear of God is just an instruction you are supposed to have obeyed. That's why the fear of God is the instruction of wisdom. See, the fear of the Lord is to abstain from wisdom, as it said. It's also the instruction of wisdom. If I don't heed the instruction of wisdom, I will not be able to abstain from evil. Are we together? If I abstain from evil, it's because I obeyed an instruction. Are we understanding? You know, because this thing, this is a major thing that Satan is using now in this end time. It's not as if it's not easy to overcome, but he has so magnified the thing like a Goliath and roared. And recall, it has to do with the body. He's taken advantage of some things. So reinforce your will through intercession and loving righteousness and hate. And then finally, you know, Pastor was talking, gave us a confession, which is in the book, is in the prayer guide, you know. And so he added something, you know. But the next day, I was now privileged to share with him what I say from the confession he has given. Oh, and you see, when Prof was telling what he was going to preach, I said, in fact, this is what happened the next day, which I was supposed to share with him. That confession our pastor gave, which is in his book, I have meditated upon it. Because that's all Prof, the emphasis. I have thought upon it. And I have been able to customize it to myself. So when I shared it with him the next day, he said, this is very good. And so I want to encourage you, because I've shared it here before. I don't know many of us use it, but I'm going to repeat it again. So if we have it, okay, let's just put it on the board. Says we are going to say it together. Say, Father, we confess our sins. In Jesus' name, we have life. Now, the original one has, we are vessels of honor, sanctified meat for the master's use, prepared unto every good work, abstain from sexual impurity in the thought, word, and deed. It addresses it. But I had to start thinking of it as a 21st century youth, 20th century, 21st century youth, and recognizing the things that I face and the things that you face. And then I had to put it in my confession. So it makes it more real to me. Do you understand? And makes it more real to another young person. And it was through meditation of that word that God began to speak to me. And I said, put this here. Add this here. You know, you have a challenge here. You know, you guys are facing this. You know, this is the technology that is around. Add it here. So it's practical. It's day-to-day. So you're not just saying it's shah. Or because it's in the book. You're saying it and addressing it. You're dealing with the root cause. General, when you're faithful in another man's own, God will now begin to show you your own. It says, we are vessels of honor. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So when I'm saying I'm a vessel of honor, it's not just some scripture in the King James Bible. From teachings, I now know the vessel is the body they are talking about. So scripture is complementing scripture. We are vessels of honor. Our bodies are the what? Temple of the Holy Ghost. We are sanctified and meet for the master's use. We are prepared unto what? Every good work, spiritual and secular. Because in my day-to-day activities, I have spiritual work and I have secular work. Some of us are students. Some of us are entrepreneurs. Some of us are researchers. Do you understand? So we abstain from all sexual and worldly impurity. In what? In thought. You see, again, that's where it starts. In what? In word, vulgar languages, wrong words. In what? Deeds, action. Because it builds up, you see. It starts from the spirit. It starts from the thought. And then it becomes water. And then it becomes solid. That's the physical. By what? Fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore in the presence of God. What we're trying to say is there is that if I abstain from sin, I cannot. My body cannot be a vacuum. There must be something else that replaces that desire. There was something else, because you see, like one man said, he said that every knock at a brothel is a desire for God. What people are really, really, really looking for, the hunger, is not the hunger for sex, because after it all, it doesn't satisfy. Is that a rinse, repeat cycle? You know, it is a hunger, it's a spiritual hunger for God. He just doesn't know. She just doesn't know. Are we together? So when you know that the key to satisfying this hunger is the presence of God, or is God himself, then you know that that is the number one thing you need to start crying out for. You understand? When you start with that, all those other things will be added to you at the appointed time. I listen to me. People will eat. People will drink. People will have sex. They're not satisfied. But all those things in the presence of God, in God's timing, in God's way, you get the full satisfaction. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when you know that with God, all these things, God made them, and God knows the time to put them in place and help you to enjoy them. You enjoy all things in time. You enjoy all good things in good time, His own way. Then you know that there is no point for me to follow Hollywood or do it quickly, you know, or go before time, so that you don't go before time. Yes. So more in the presence of God. Next one. I dress what? Decently and comely to the glory of God. We all know we don't have to talk too much. If it's too tight, loosen it. Get something that's not too tight. No need showing the cleavage. No need sagging. I know you're homosexual. No need flying your shirt. We don't see the hair on your chest or your muscles. Do you understand? I dress decently and what? Comely to the glory of God. Now, this is one. I what? Love the good and hate the evil. I added this. I love righteousness and hate sin. Again, even at the thought level, I say it again to myself. See, not just saying it once, like I was saying to Pastor, I need to say it again so that it is reinforced in my mind. Because I know the battle is in the mind, you see. Even at the thought level, I flee what? Fornication, adultery, and any type of sexual impurity and impure habits. Masturbation. Different things that people face. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes God shows you things to come. Say, add this, oh. Or sometimes you might just come for fellowship. You will hear it. Say, add it, oh. You don't have to experience it. Do you understand? Before you know that you need to attack it. There are some things you need to mention. There are some things you don't need to mention. But when God wants you to be specific, you know what's happening in town. And you begin to deal with it. Sexual impurity and impure habits, as well as materials and places, media, movies, cartoons, books, magazines, etc., and online, internet, and offline, physical, and such people, because there are people, Prophet was talking about them, the wicked man, the evil woman, and choices, because when you're alone, you have to make choices, because it can destroy the physical body, dishonor God, and disinherit one of the spirit without measure. Your very purpose is to carry that spirit without measure. So you can see what Satan is trying to do to short circuit that thing and to derail. So you can see the things that we've added and mentioned. Impure habits, materials. We specify those materials, media, movies, cartoons, so that it is not that I said it. And when the movie comes, when the book comes, I have lost my mind. I have totally forgotten. When you say it, it is attached to your mind. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so that it will be easy for you to recognize. When the wind comes, your will has not been eroded. And you've not been set into the matrix. That's automated solution. You're just following him. The Bible says that, and he followed him like a dog. Like a deer about to be to the snare. You understand what I'm saying? The guy had lost his sense of will. His tongue was out like a dog, just following to the slaughtery. You understand what I'm saying? That's why you have to be specific. You have to know yourself. You have to know your enemy. Do you understand? So that when he comes, because you see, the guy will not, he comes as an angel of light. Probably talking about flatteries. He appears as an angel of light, gentle, cool. But what the intent in his heart is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And that is not going to be our purpose or our destiny in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So, you know, let us speak these words. Let us meditate upon these words. Let us pray these words. As you are doing, God will begin to show you, you know, your specific areas where you are easily snared, you know, and the sin which doth so easily beset you. Let us pray.
Actively talk to God. Actively talk to God. Actively talk to God. God is a wise God. With wisdom, we will overcome the fury that and the trickery of the enemy. Say it makes all things beautiful in his time. And like Pastor once said, once it's not beautiful, it's not God's time. You're not proud of it. You can't talk about it. It's dirty. It's a shame. It's not God's time. More importantly, we say God is there to help. No, nobody has been left on their own. We only on our own when we reject God's help. And that's why we say, let's actively talk to him. Then to strengthen your will. When he talked about the evil woman, and this now part is where he says, he forgetted the covenant of our God. You have to make your covenant with God. Say, God, help me or strengthen me, because this one, I will not cross this level. You make that covenant with God. God, strengthen me. I will not cross this level. And God will back you up. Not the one I'm 20, I'm 19. Yeah, I'll soon leave my parents' house. I'll be free. Yeah. You are leaving yourself to the winds. But make your covenant with God. Say, God, I want my vessel to be sanctified, meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. You can have it all, but all of them will be in God's time. You can have it all. A nice husband, a lovely wife, as the case may be, great children, righteousness and the glory of God, great career, become a worthy example, a mentor. Can have it all, but in God's time. I hope we know this song. We don't sing it here, but it's a popular Christian song. Purify me as gold, so I might be bold to say my body is your sanctuary. 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 Purify me as gold, so I might be bold. So I might be bold to say my body is your sanctuary. Purify me as gold. Purify me as gold, so I might be bold to say my body is your sanctuary. 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 My body your sanctuary. Purify me as gold, so I might be bold to say my body is your sanctuary. Purify me as gold, so I might be bold to say my body is your sanctuary. Purify me as gold, so I might be bold to say my body Father, we confess our sins. Speak in prayers to God. Father, we confess our sins to clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Father, I repent of all sexual immorality in thought, in word, and in deed. Have mercy. I start afresh, a reset button, a new start to put the word of God central, to meditate, to hide the word of God in my heart so that I will not sin against you. In any error in thought, I quickly clean with the blood. Constantly and daily, I load with the word of God and I fire by the Spirit so to drive the sin nature away from my soul, away from my body. And I have the wisdom of God to walk in temperance, to avoid, to flee fornication and all appearances of evil. In Jesus' name, amen.